It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to Sports Daily on this Thursday morning. Tommy Caster, TJ Cleland in for Jacob Albrock today. We appreciate you joining us on this Thursday edition of the show. So many different ways for you to get in touch with the program today. You can give us a call on the KFH hotline, 869-1240. You can also leave us your video comments. We are simulcasting our program on our video stream on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, also simulcasting on the 12 News Connected app as well. You can leave us your video comments there. We can put them right up on the screen as the show goes on. And you can also leave us a voice message. All you have to do is listen to the show on the free Odyssey app. You can click the microphone button right there on the homepage, and you'll be able to leave us. It's basically a voicemail. We can play those back on the show as well. So a multitude of different ways for you to get in touch with the program today. We've got a lot coming up on the program today. TJ, I told you this right before we came on the air. Today is a monumental show. It's the 25th anniversary of Sports Daily. It launched on September 11th, which I know is an unfortunate date, but September 11th in the year 2000. And so today we celebrate 25 years of this program.
Yeah, been a lot of great guys on this show, a lot of great guests, and a lot of great topics on Sports Daily. So I'm really excited that I get to be a part of that a little bit. But yeah, 25 years. The show is officially older than me. I don't know if you want to hear that or not, Tommy.
Wait, you're not 25?
I am 24, about to turn 25.
Holy cow. I thought you were older than that.
24 years old.
God, you're a youngin'.
Baby.
Man, so, you know, there have been so many different great moments on this program over the last 25 years. So many great people have hosted this show over the 25 years. You know, top of mind, obviously, Bruce Hurdle and Bob Lutz. You know, they really set the tone for this program for such a long time. And then many other people obviously have been in these host chairs. We're coming up on my final week regularly on this program. You and Brandon Zenner will be taking over for me after next week. And so my 3-year tenure on this show is coming to a close in the next few days or so, which is bittersweet for me, but we'll get into the next era, the next generation of this program. But so many great moments, and I also want to point this out too, as we're talking about the history and the legacy of Sports Daily. We had there was a lot of news yesterday, as many people know, a lot of different things going on around the country today. And in case anybody missed this news locally, a friend of the program and a friend to many here in Wichita passed away yesterday. Bucky Walters, at the age of 86. Bucky, a longtime fixture icon in the Wichita comedy scene. He was in the Gridiron Show with our buddy Ted the Sports Head for a number of years. He called us on this program to talk the Shockers all the time. Bucky had been sick for a while and passed away yesterday at the age of 86. So we have an anniversary. We have a little bit of a sad note to pass along here on the top of the show. But we don't have anything monumental to bring you today on the 25th anniversary. It's going to be a regular show as normal because we have a lot to get to. The Royals, they get the win last night in comeback fashion. They had to have it in Cleveland. We'll get into that in our very next segment. In our next hour, we'll talk to our betting insider, PJ Glasser, on best bets this weekend in the NFL world, college football, all of that. We'll do that in our next hour. And we'll talk to Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com. I don't know about you, TJ, but I am really interested to hear what Fitz has to say after the start to the K-State season. I would imagine there'll be some fireworks on this segment with Fitz.
Yeah, I know last week we talked to him, and it was kind of like, you know, Fitz never tiptoes around anything, but it was the fact of, like, Yeah, like, they didn't look very good. Like, maybe they'll figure it out. Like, I don't want to say anything too harsh. And then it's like, oh, everything that we said came true. Like, we weren't wrong about anything. They lost to Army. So,
yeah,
lots to talk about.
Yeah, the sky might be falling in Manhattan. So we'll talk to Fitz about that as well in our next hour. That is all What's on Tap. What's on Tap is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the Pep Pep Pepperoni Pizza that's topped with sliced, cubed, and deli-cut pepperoni. Pep Pep Pepperoni is now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. TJ, I just can't get over the fact that you're younger than this program is. I'm having a hard time getting that out of my head. So you were born in 2001?
March 2001, yep.
March 2001.
I've been the brunt of many jokes in the newsroom. I've worked there for almost 4 years, and I think I'm still, like, the youngest employee in the newsroom. Like, people keep coming in that are just my age or older. There might be, like, one or two younger than me now, but I started at KOH when I was 20, and so there was a lot of brunt jokes of, I can report on the news, but I can't go drink a beer afterwards, so.
Yeah.
I mean,
those days are done, obviously, yeah. Because you're over 21.
True.
Man, I was all excited to talk about the 25th anniversary of this program, and
think about what we were doing in the year 2000.
Yeah, because I was in high school. I'm 39. I'm that much older than you. I was in high school in the year 2000, and you were not even born yet. Gosh, that makes me feel incredibly, incredibly
really
old.
Really good at doing that to people.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, of course, it's been, like I mentioned, a long time on this program, and we really, really appreciate all of the listeners from all the way dating back to the year 2000, all the way through that have made this show continue. It is, at least by my count, unofficially, the longest running sports program in Wichita continuously. It doesn't happen very often when you have a franchise that runs this long uninterrupted on one radio station. And so a tip of the cap to Tony Dusing, our brand manager, operations manager here with KFH and Odyssey, for continuing to champion for local Wichita sports talk radio. And I'm happy to know that once I leave the program next week, that the show continues to roll on. Of course, our buddy Jacob Albrecht will continue to anchor the show, but having you and Brandon Zinner rotate through on multiple days and get a couple days a week, I think is a great next step forward for the show.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're really excited about it. Definitely getting me out of bed a lot earlier. Everybody knows what happened last week. We don't need to talk about it. But
yeah.
I was up raring to go this morning. Gonna turn into a morning person here. Somehow.
Are you going to have to manage, I don't know on the days on which you're doing the program, but are you going to have to manage doing the late news and then turning around and coming in early for the show?
Yes. So the way we're going to stagger it is that I have Mondays and Tuesdays off from TV, so I'm going to have Mondays and Tuesdays off from radio. But it's going to be like last night. I worked until about 10:30, 11, got home, went to bed, was up this morning with my wife at about 5:45.
Is that discipline there for you, like where like you know you're going to be working a late night? And then you just like, I know I have to go to bed, like, right. Or is it, I'm going to get home and I might play some PlayStation.
No, I can't do that. Like I scroll my phone a little bit because, you know, sometimes we're working in a newsroom, gets the adrenaline pumping and you can't go to bed. But I definitely make myself at least try to go to bed. So
yeah.
I'm going to have to be better about that.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun. I'm glad that we have both of you guys to be able to rotate through and be able to continue on this program with Jacob, who will of course be on every single day. So we're celebrating an anniversary here, 25 years of Sports Daily today, and we're getting ready for the next era of the program coming up after next week. We are just getting underway here on Sports Daily. On the other side, let's get into the Royals. They rally, they come back late in the game, a game they had to have against the Guardians. We'll get into all of that next. Tommy Caster, TJ Cleland, just getting started on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Shocker Nation is painting the Kansas State Fair black and yellow on Saturday, September 13th. For Shocker Saturday at the Kansas State Fair in Hutch, we're airing a special show live and on-site at the fairgrounds with Wichita State AD Kevin Saul and head coaches Terry Nooner, Brian Green, Christy Breadbinner, and Chris Lamb. Tune in live to KFH on 97.5 and 1240, or check it out in person live from the House of Capper at the Kansas State Fairgrounds this coming Saturday. Our very own Jacob Albrecht will be co-hosting with Mike Kennedy, the voice of the the Shockers, and Kevin Saul for that big Shocker Saturday at the Kansas State Fair. So looking forward to that this weekend up there in Hutch. If you're in the area, you want to come out to the fair, make sure to stop by the House of Capper and check that out. Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily. Tommy Caster, TJ Cleland on this Thursday. Let's dive right into the Royals, TJ. It was an up and down roller coaster type game. Crucial game, must-win game for Kansas City. It started off well. We see Jonathan India drive in a run, and you're like, okay, the Royals get out in front here pretty early on, feel okay about it, and then Kyle Manzardo, who is the Royals' killer this season.
He's torched them all year.
He doesn't do well against any other team, but he does really well against the Royals. He hits a home run, and the Guardians take the lead, and it was tense. You know, Jacob likes to call it butt pucker in time or nut cut in time, whatever phrase you want to use. It was definitely at that point for the Royals, middle of the game. And then it kind of came from an unlikely source to an extent. Nick Lofton is really the guy that got everything going. He was able to drive in the tying run, and then he scored the go-ahead run. And the Royals are able to win 4-3 on the road in Cleveland. From a wild card perspective, you can't afford to have further ground between you and Cleveland and the teams ahead of you in the wild card race. It was a game they had to have, and especially in a bullpen game when you have Jonathan Bolin getting the start and you run through six different relievers. I think the Royals have to walk away from that game feeling fortunate they got the W.
Yeah, it's huge. Obviously, in the middle of a race is the Guardians. Right now, as it stands, Guardians are a half game ahead of them. So losing that game is going to be pretty detrimental, as you're going to fall down to four and a half back. And then you're sitting there with the Rays, and then you have a bigger mountain to climb higher to get into that wild card. So as I said, this is a crucial stretch. I think there's 16 games left of the year. Not to be dramatic, but you might have to win 12 of them at this point. Like you're kind of swimming upstream. You can't afford any losses. So last night's huge. I don't know if it's going to be enough, though. That's the thing. Do you think that they still have a chance to get in?
It's going to be really difficult because of the way the last 4 or 5 days have gone. You go back to Saturday after the Royals game. The Mariners played late. So before the Mariners game started and after the Royals won, the Royals were only a half game back of the Mariners at that moment. Then the Mariners win, and then the Royals are one game back. Then the Royals lose on Sunday. They lose on Monday. They lose on Tuesday. And then all of a sudden, the Mariners keep winning. The Rangers are hot right now. They're winning as well. And there's more distance between them and the third wildcard spot. They're on the brink, for sure. It's really, really tense right now, for sure. But they're not out of it. And if you think of it from the perspective of a magic number, the Royals have 74 wins right now. They have 16 games remaining in their season. It's they're not going to go 16-0, so you can cross 90 wins off the list. That's not going to happen for them. But then you start thinking, okay, if they get to 85, is that going to be enough? That's 13 wins, right? Or no, it's 12 wins.
Yep.
It's 11 wins to get from 74 to get to 85.
Yep,
that's 11 wins. Will 85 wins be enough? I don't know. Will 86 wins be enough? That's 12-4. 87 may have to be. So you have to try to figure out what the winning win total will be to make it into that third wild card spot. And then the question becomes, do the Royals have enough gas to get that done?
I don't even know if that's the right way to look at it either, because you think about the schedule that they have coming up. The bad part about this is that they're only going to play two teams that are in the chase of this thing. The Blue Jays, have the Blue Jays clinched yet? I think they have.
I don't know if they've clinched. I know they're close.
Okay, they're about to at least.
Yeah.
They've got Cleveland tonight. Then they go to Philadelphia. Then the Mariners series is the big one. Then it's Blue Jays, Angels, A's. So you got to take care of business tonight, get that series done against the Guardians. And then you have to you might have to sweep the Mariners to have a chance. Like, the wins against Philadelphia and the A's are kind of going to be useless down the stretch. And then even if you do that, if you win those four big games that you have to win that are left for you to get in this wild card race, it still might not be enough because the Rangers could get hot. So that's just the name of the game. I think that the Royals may have damned themselves already. They proved me wrong. I thought they damned themselves back in July, but they've been in the stretch the entire time, but just kind of on the outside looking in. So I don't know if I'm a pessimist. I don't know if it's the Royals fan in me my entire life that's telling me that they might not be able to get it done. But I think it's too much of a tall ask. If they do, it'd be awesome, and I'd love to cover some postseason baseball, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Let's say they just miss out. Let's say they're on the outside looking in. What would your feelings be on this team? Are you negative about the team? Like, do you feel like it was a missed opportunity for them? Or do you have a different reaction about the way the season could be summed up?
I don't know. I think that historically looking at it, it's obviously a good year because we've seen so much bad Royals baseball. But then you look at what they did last year and how much they brought back and invested to go back to the playoffs this year. And the fact that like they had the opportunity as they were looking outside in at the trade deadline and said, nope, we're going to keep going. Like, we're going to buy. And you still don't make the playoffs. Like, they didn't spend that much to buy, so it's not that big of a deal. I don't know. You think about, like, you could have dumped off Lugo. He has been kind of, you know, not great since the extension. We've talked about that. I don't know. There's a lot of different pieces that go into this. I don't think it's going to be the end of the world if they just barely miss out. I'd obviously like it a lot more if they made it in. But if they don't make it this year, I think that you have to make it next year, or then it's going to start looking, you know,
well,
you have to make tough decisions.
I think that you have to view Bobby Witt Jr. kind of in the same lens that you view Patrick Mahomes, where as long as you have him, you have a chance. And I know baseball and football are apples and oranges. They're two totally different games. And Bobby Witt Jr. Can't impact the game at the same level every single play that Patrick Mahomes does. So I understand that. That being said, though, I mean, I believe, and I think you believe also, and many people do, that Bobby Witt Jr. is a transformational baseball player, right? Like, he could be a future MVP. He could be a future Hall of Famer, like all these different things. And so I don't feel like the window, even after next season, is closed. I think that they return a lot of players. The core of that team should be back. Really, the only question mark really is Salvador Perez, because there's an option. I would imagine the Royals will pick up that option, I would think. So I don't even think that's that big of a question, but by and large, the core, the nucleus of this team should be returning next season. Now, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Because these guys had stretches where they looked phenomenal, but especially offensively, there were a lot of times where they were flat out anemic, and especially as of late, like they were hot for a while, and then they've kind of fallen off a cliff back and reverted back to the same kind of offense we saw early this season.
Yeah, that's kind of the question that kind of arises when you think about the Royals' future, is the fact that Vinny Pasquantino and Mikel Garcia are both going to need extensions at some point kind of soon. And you're going to have to make a decision on who that's going to be. And the way that the Royals have operated is that you're probably going to have to pick of who you want to keep. But, you know, the way that they've operated the past couple of years, maybe they want to open up the pocketbooks, keep them both. But then the thing is, like you said, you know, the core of who's the core? Let's figure this out. Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, Mikel Garcia, Cole Reagans, Chris Bubich. Anybody else you want to add to that
list?
That's
probably, I mean, you could probably throw in, I don't know, would you consider Lucas Ersig a core member of that team? Like, if you go bullpen?
Sure, we'll add him too. Yeah. But then after that, it's just like, I mean, if you lose the rest of the team, you know, like, there's nobody in the minor leagues coming up to help. Like, there's no reinforcements on the way. So you've got to keep this core together and hope it works out, because you've got nothing coming up from the farm system. You're going to have to spend money somewhere. You know, it kind of was a perfect storm a little bit last year. I think that it's possible to do it again, because these guys can just get hot as a firecracker. But also, if it's not going well, you know, it's not like the Royals of 2013, 2014, when you knew you had all these guys down there. You had a Yordano Ventura sitting in AAA ready to get the call up. You had Eric Cosmer before he got called up, Moose when he got called up. They had a really good farm system. Now that's just not the case. There's literally nobody down there anymore except for the two catchers.
Whatever happens this season, I do think that it's a little unfair, and people are going to do this regardless, but I think it's going to be unfair to the Royals to look at their overall season offensive statistics and lump it all together for the overall body of work. This team, as it stands today, is a lot different than what it was on opening day. You know, you had MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfro patrolling the corner outfield spots on opening day. They were an awful offense. They were the worst in Major League Baseball. They're still not great if you look at the overall season hitting stats. But from July 1st onward, and then if you even want to go further than that, if you know, All-Star break on or even trade deadline on, they've been much improved with the reinforcements they bring in. And so I think people from a top-level viewpoint, from 30,000 feet, are just going to look at the overall season stats and say, look at the Royals. They stink offensively. They need to make major changes. Well, they kind of already did. Like, they got rid – I mean, think of all the names. I mentioned it yesterday. All of the names that at one point or another have played outfield for this team, outside of center field, which has been Kyle Isbell's. But you've got Melendez and Renfroe, John Rave, Tyler Tolbert. Now you've got Randall Grichuk. You've got Mike Yastrzemski. You've got, you know, all these different guys. Adam Frazier's played outfield. All these different players have at one point or another been in the outfield, and they've been trying to forever figure out the right combination that works. I am pleased that, at least for next season, the majority of that core should return, but they've got to get some of those other areas figured out and locked in.
Yeah, I think the other unfortunate thing that you can take away optimistically is the fact that, like you said, the first half of the season, they were the best pitching staff in the league, and then the second half of the season, I mean, for a stretch, they were one of the best offensive teams in the league, and then it just never coincided with each other between a Cole Reagans injury and a Chris Bubich injury. I think if you did have a healthy pitching staff, you know, a lot of these games down the stretch would look a lot different. You know, obviously, we saw what Chris Bubich was, one of the best pitchers in baseball whenever he was healthy earlier this year. And then we've seen the stretches of Cole Reagans. We've seen the stretches of Seth Lugo, who hasn't been to his performance level that he was in the first half of the season. So if you bring this team back, I think if you replay the 2025 season with the way that it went, I'd say that, you know, maybe 60 times out of 100, the Royals do make the playoffs. And so that's kind of the frustrating part. I think that's the part that hurts the most. But at the end of the day, it's baseball, and the injury bug gets everybody. And I think it's just the way the cards might have felt.
Yeah, we got to talk Jack Caglione a little bit here. Jalen Thompson, our buddy, Royals insider, Kansas City star, had a phenomenal article that came out last night after the Royals won, where he pinpointed Jack Caglione as the key reason why the Royals came back late in that game. I don't know if you caught this or not, TJ, but Cags came up, and it was in the seventh inning when the Royals were able to tie the ballgame and then take the lead. We all know that what Cags has struggled with the most in the bigs is his patience at the plate, swinging at pitches out of the zone. I think pitchers, at least his first stint, they knew that they could throw it wherever and he was going to take a hack at it. So they never really gave him anything good to hit. And he was extremely patient. And I believe the sequence went, if I read the article right, he took three pitches that were all balls. Then he took two more that were called strikes. And it was a full count. And then he walked on a 3-2 pitch. So he didn't swing the bat at all in that at-bat. And he ended up on base. And then immediately Matt Cotrero goes to the bench, brings in Tyler Tolbert to pinch run for him, and that started the rally, and Nick Lofton was able to drive him in. Then Mikel Garcia drove in Lofton, and the Royals are able to take the lead. And, you know, you're always, and I even led with this when we were first talking about this game. I led with Nick Lofton, and I led with Mikel Garcia. Jalen Thompson argues, and I don't disagree with him, that that whole rally was predicated on the patience at the plate by Jack Caglione. We're going to need to see more of that in his young career.
Yeah, Jack Caglione is just such an enigma, because the fact of, even like, you think about how much he tortured Triple A pitching and Double A pitching, and then he got called up, and then it wasn't the case, and then he went on his rehab assignment, and then he tortured Triple A pitching again. Like, there's something to be said about how many times he's hit hard hit balls at people in the majors, and that's just the game of baseball, and it sucks. But I agree, there's obviously the things that he needs to work on. He's still 22 years old as well, so that's the other part of this. But the argument of Jack Caglione, if you want to think about who he's going to be on this team next year, you know, you think that you want him to be a part of that core. Right now, you know, he's not helping the core that much. Like, that's just the fact. But you can't send him back down to get better at this point. Like, anything that he's going to get better at is at the major league level.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. That's not going
to
happen.
Exactly. So, like, you just kind of have to roll with the punches and just wait for it to get better, because it should get better. Like, the dude is a generational type of athlete. So, I don't know. What is your take on Jack Caglione? What do you think he's going to be next year?
I think he's going to be probably a more complete player. And I think that the Royals will work with him this offseason on, you know, look, we need you to be a core member of this team and not just a guy that we want to hit one over the fence, right? Like, we need you to be a five-tool player. Like, we need you to work in this offseason on getting on base. We need you to work on, you know, especially if he's blocked, and he is at first base for now at least, we need you to work on your outfield. We need you to be able to be a guy that we can count on in all the different facets of the game, not just, hey, we're going to throw you in the lineup and we hope that you're going to hit one out of the park. We need you to do more than that. And I would anticipate that he'll be a more complete player next season.
I'd even argue that if you just put him in to have him hit one out of the park, that'd be awesome as well.
Well, sure.
He hasn't done that very much either.
Sure, yeah.
So, Yeah, it's you know, the worst part about the Jack Caglione thing is the fact that this entire time, I know Andy Rogers reported it whenever he got drafted, is that they said that we're going to work on your hitting first, and then once you get that figured out, then we can figure out the pitching if you want to do the two-way thing. I don't think Jack Caglione's going to be a two-way.
Yeah, I think he's a ways away. I think he's probably as far away from that as you can possibly get. The Royals need to have him get locked in, solidified offensively at the big league level. But it was, I think, a glimmer of hope how patient he was at the plate and really got that comeback started for the Royals last night. We take a look at the wild card race in the American League. The good news for the Royals, obviously, they beat the Guardians last night. They're a game back of them. If you beat them tonight, and by the way, Stephen Kolek is pitching in the game tonight against Gavin Williams, who's been really good for the Guardians. You can't drop the series against the team in front of you, so you've got to get this one again tonight, too, and split that series. You'll then be a game ahead of Cleveland in the wild card race. The bad news for the Royals, Seattle keeps on winning, and Texas keeps on winning. Seattle won last night. They've won five in a row. The Rangers have won four in a row, and they're the two teams that you are chasing for that final wild card spot. The Royals are not out of the hunt at all. It does make that upcoming Seattle series that much more crucial. It doesn't get any easier for the Royals either. They continue their road trip after tonight, going to Philly, and Philly is one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. So it's going to be a tremendous challenge. I would say the chances of them making the playoffs are non-zero. They're not zero, but they're fairly low at this point.
They're close to zero.
They
may be in the hunt, but it might be a pitch black hunt in the freezing cold at this point.
You're going to have a lot go your way. Unfortunately, to your point, TJ, as you mentioned it a little while ago, it's not all in the Royals' control. They don't just control their own destiny. You've got to get some help from a team like the Rangers. The good news for the Royals, they do hold the tiebreaker against Texas, but you've got to have them cool off a little bit if you want to chase them down.
Yeah, it's a tough stretch, absolutely. That's what we've just been saying. So you got to get these games done, and then just it's just kind of the bet that the Royals made. You know, that's the reason that you want to – the games matter in April is because you want to be at this point to have those 10 extra wins so you can control your own destiny. You talked about magic numbers earlier. The Royals are in a part right now where there's like six different magic numbers.
There are.
A place where you don't want to be.
And everything ebbs and flows day by day with the results of every single game. Jalen Thompson told us he thought it would come down to the final couple games of the regular season. It very well might do that. You'll be able to listen to the game tonight, the finale of the series in Cleveland, right here on KFH. We'll have the coverage for you there. Also on KFH, a lot of talk about Wildcat football. We've got more on the Chris Kleiman Show tonight at 6 o'clock. You can tune in to 97.5 and 1240 KFH to listen to the Chris Kleiman Radio Show, and then Royals baseball beginning at 7 o'clock. On the other side, let's get into football. Some Chiefs headlines to get to. We'll do that next. Tommy Caster and TJ Cleland at Sports Daily coming right back.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily on KFH. Tommy Caster, TJ Cleland in for Jacob Albrock today on this 25th anniversary of Sports Daily coming live. 25 years ago today is when the very first episode of this program launched here on KFH. We appreciate everybody for being along for the ride over the last quarter century. With TJ in today, now would be a good time to let everybody know that tomorrow on the program, we'll be talking high school football. Week one is in the books. Week two is coming up tomorrow, all around the Metro, the City League, and all the schools around the area. We'll talk catch at Kansas. We'll talk about the big games of the week. High school football coverage on Sports Daily, by the way, is brought to you by Zintex. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zintex Remodeling Group. That's Zintex.com. TJ will do that tomorrow, but already looking forward to recapping everything that happened in high school football around the area last week.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of great games in week one, a lot of great games in week two coming up. So going to be an awesome season. Nobody really knows who's that good or not right now. And so that's kind of the fun part of these early weeks. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We'll get into that tomorrow on the program after we do our Friday football picks with the entire crew tomorrow here on the program. Let's get into some football talk with the Kansas City Chiefs and everything right now, TJ, with the Chiefs surrounding the health of Xavier Worthy and what's going to happen with him. How long is he going to be out? Is he going to miss some time? I saw an article yesterday from Nate Taylor from ESPN covers the Chiefs, talking about how Andy Reid said that Xavier Worthy doesn't need surgery. The team is not planning on putting him on IR, and they're hopeful that he can come back in a couple of weeks. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little bit surprised by that, just because I feel like with that kind of injury, you might want to be a little bit more careful with it. But it sure sounds like the team is expecting him to be back in short order.
Yeah, it's going to be a couple of weeks still, I think. You know, obviously the IR designation just kind of handicaps you on when they can come back. So I think that it's going to be a lingering thing. It's going to be a couple of weeks till I think that we're going to see him play. Maybe three, something like that. And then after that, it may just be a snap count type of thing. Maybe 3 weeks at the minimum. And then it's a questionable, limited practice, not able to play on Sunday. So, yeah, it couldn't have come at a worse time. You know, a point that I thought about is the fact that, you know, they had the reports that Rashee Rice was going to meet with the disciplinary committee in week four. And then talk about the suspension after that point. And everybody was like, well, I don't know if I want him to get suspended in week five and then miss 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But now you're like, maybe that would have been a good thing. You
right.
know? We would have been missing two receivers at the exact same time. So it stinks. The good part about it, as much as this game is kind of huge this weekend for a Super Bowl rematch, it's not a division game. The part that's kind of scary for the Kansas City Chiefs right now is that they're 0-1 in the division and everybody else won a game. So they're at the bottom of the AFC West. So it's not like it's a monumental climb to get back up or anything like that, but it's a really good division this year. And being handicapped with two of your best wide receivers down is really going to hurt you, because the wide receiver room's it's not great right now.
A new report just came out not that long ago, and from Diana Russini from The Athletic and the New York Times, formerly of ESPN, on her podcast that dropped today, she said that she wouldn't be surprised if Xavier Worthy is able to suit up next week against the Giants in week three. To me, I don't think he should, even if he could. Like, that's a game, that's the one game on the schedule that you feel like, do we really need him?
Yeah.
Right? Like, maybe let him set out an additional week and get even better to come back. That report's a little bit more surprising to me.
Yeah, I can't imagine a world where they're going to do that. The Chiefs have always kind of not been aggressive on things until it gets to the playoff time or anything like that. So I can't imagine, especially they'll just – I think the part that kind of hurt them on Friday down in Brazil is the fact of, like, it wasn't so much the fact that they didn't have Xavier Worthy. It was the fact that they game planned literally their entire offense around Xavier Worthy, it sounded like. They kind of just had to adjust on the fly. And on the second half, Hollywood Brown played really well. I think that they probably did adjust towards doing something more to that nature. So I think a week of prep is not – it's not going to, like, hurt them the worst. It's going to hurt them more in the fact of, like, we have Hollywood Brown, and then next man up is Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, that's going to be the part that hurts them the most. But I think that – as you said, I think that going into a game with Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Tyquan Thornton is going to be a good enough wide receiver core to get it done against the Giants. Every team's good in the NFL, but you know, that's one that you think that you should be okay with.
It might be good enough to get it done against the Giants. Is it good enough to get it done against the Eagles this Sunday? That's the major question going into this ball game. And you know, they're going to have to change the game plan. They're going to have to. They're going to have to change the way they approach this game offensively, I think. Jacob and I have been talking about this all week long, about what the Chiefs are going to have to do to combat the Eagles. And all you have to do is look back at the opening game for the Eagles against the Cowboys. Where the Cowboys had their success is when they ran the ball. With a guy, and like, let's be real about this for a second. The running backs that the Cowboys have are not elite running backs. They're not. Like, you've got Javonte Williams as your primary ball carrier. He's fine, but he's not Derrick Henry. He's not Saquon Barkley. Like, and they had success on the ground against the Eagles. So if the Cowboys can do that and hang with the Eagles in that regard, that's the recipe. But the major question is, will the Chiefs do that?
I think the other major caveat of that is that the Eagles' main defensive lineman got thrown out of the game.
Well, true.
30 seconds in for spitting on somebody. So I don't think that's going to happen against the Chiefs. If it does, then we might have a bigger conversation to talk about on the show, is that what's wrong with Jalen Carter that keeps spitting on people. I'd like to see them obviously run the ball. Oh, yeah, there. Rick Klein agrees with me there. I'd like to see him run the ball more. It's Andy Reid, though. We haven't seen him do that a ton. I don't know. The Eagles' defense is just kind of just take what you can. I don't really know what the perfect game plan for this is. You'd think that without your two best wide receivers that you will run the ball more. But knowing Andy Reid, I wouldn't bet a lot of money on that.
Yeah, I mean, Rick on our video stream agrees with you. He says they probably ran more without Jalen Carter playing. That is true. But, you know, I think that you have to try to take what you can away from that opening game. And we're kind of back, TJ, to a very similar place where we were middle of the regular season last year, where the Chiefs were down their top wideouts. They did have Xavier Worthy playing, but he was a rookie. He hadn't fully come into his own yet. You were down Rashee Rice. You were down Hollywood Brown. You were even down Isaiah Pacheco. And the Chiefs had to find other ways to win games. And they were able to do that. You've got to lean into that more. Now, they did go and get reinforcements. They bring in Kareem Hunt. They bring in DeAndre Hopkins. We talked on the program yesterday. That's, I think, unlikely to happen again because these are short-term things. And you've got Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy probably back. Well, we know when Rice will be back, but Worthy probably back in a couple of weeks. So I can't imagine they'll be rash and go out and try to bring somebody off the street or make a trade. Or I can't imagine that'll happen. But they've got to at least, I think, try to alter their game plan and where they end up focusing on offensively.
Yeah, I think that the thing that sounds just so crazy, I talked to a bunch of people at the Kansas State Fair yesterday about the Chiefs. And, like, if the Chiefs lose this game, even if the Chiefs lose this game and next game, if they're 0-3 to start the year, like, it's fine. Like, I'm really not worried about that. Like, obviously, the sky's going to fall down if the Chiefs start a season 0-3. But the fact of the matter is they're going to be 0-1 in their division and have a ton of opportunity to make it back up. Last year, we saw what they – or 2 years ago, we saw what they did when they squeaked into the playoffs. Like, it's obviously – like, these 6 weeks aren't going to be the Chiefs that you're going to see in week 17, week 18 down the stretch of this year. So, I'm not going to panic if they lose these games. I think they'll beat the Giants still. If they lose the Giants, there's a different conversation to be had there. But from a record standpoint, if they're 0-3, like, I don't think that the season is over by any means. I don't think it's going to be something worrisome by any means either. Like, right now, as the Chiefs sit, like, obviously, every national talking head, every national media, you turn on SportsCenter, they're like, is this the year the Chiefs aren't going to win the AFC West? And it's like, we've watched them lose one game without two of their best receivers on the field. Like, there's no room to panic, and the Chiefs have earned the benefit of the doubt at this point.
I will tell you, if the Chiefs start the season 0-3 or 1-2, I can't wait to see how Vegas reacts, because I think you'll probably be able to get pretty good value on them being a division winner, them being a conference winner, maybe even them winning the Super Bowl. Like, the values on that, I would imagine, are going to be pretty good if the Chiefs, you know, start that way this season, you know, 1-2 or 0-3. But the big task in hand is, how can they combat Jalen Hurts? And I really believe that, and I mentioned this yesterday, all the narrative, all the talk this week has been about the depleted wide receiver room and how they're going to be able to attack offensively. In my mind, what the major storyline should be is Justin Herbert ran all over you in week number one defensively. And now you've got a guy who does that even better in Jalen Hurts coming up this weekend. How do you game plan that? That's got to be top of mind and number one on the priority list for Kansas City, in my mind, going into this weekend.
Yeah, that's a good point. I talked about that the other day as well, is the fact of, like, they didn't have Xavier Worthy on the field, and that was definitely a major handicap in their offense. But they still put up 21 points.
They did.
Their defense gave up.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are off the injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
27 points. Like, that's the other side of this as well. You know, we talked about the secondary of this team is just not the same secondary that they had last year. You don't have Justin Reed. It's a bit injured as well. So a lot of guys are having to step up in there, and the Chargers kind of took it. Like, Justin Herbert threw for 318 yards and three touchdowns, and then ran for 5 yards a carry, basically. So it's like, they kind of just exploited the Chiefs defense. So it kind of raises the question of, like, who is the Chiefs defense going to be this year? Like, is this going to be — last year they won a bunch of games because of the Chiefs defense and not because of the offense. Like, is this going to be a switch to go back to the old Chiefs days back in 2019, 2018 when they were scoring 50 points and losing
I don't
games?
Think they have the firepower to do that. That's the issue, is that if the Chiefs defense is leaky in that way and they're letting opposing offenses run all over them, I don't think the Chiefs offense can then pick that up at that kind of clip like they did a few years ago. A couple wild stats, which I just think are crazy, and I know, like, these are kind of cherry-picked, but the Chiefs haven't won a game since January of this year. They lost the Super Bowl. They lost all three preseason games, and they lost in week one. So they're 0-5 at that point. And how about this? We're coming up on 2 years since the Chiefs have scored more than 30 points in a game.
Really?
It wasn't – you have to go all the way back to the AFC Championship game against the Bills 2 years ago. Yep. That was the last time they scored more than 30 points in a game. So it's been a long time since we've seen them offensively put up that kind of clip. And so if you're asking the offense now to pick up the defense, which, you know, has holes in it for sure from what we saw in week number one, that's a really tall task, I think, for Steve Spagnuolo's defense.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I talked about giving the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt because they always do find a way. But if there was a season to kind of doubt a little bit, you know, obviously, like, last year, nobody liked the offense. Like, I think that's just plain as day of how bad they kind of looked. And then it was like, well, it's fine because the defense is only going to give up 7 points. Like, it's fine. Like, it's not a big deal. And then you go back to the old Chiefs days where it's like, well, the defense is terrible, but it's fine because we have Patrick Mahomes throwing 50-yard passes. Like, this is the year where there is a little bit of
there are issues on both sides,
like,
you know?
All right, well, who's going to step – like, the Chiefs have to do – is the special teams going to be amazing? Is Harrison Butker going to score 15 points a game or something like that? So, yeah, I don't know. It's
Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The most interesting season, which is crazy to think about because they just went to three straight Super Bowls, but I think this might be the most interesting regular season to think about how they're going to be able to get it done, if they're going to go back to the old Chiefs ways, if the defense is going to step up, or if we're going to see some struggles somehow.
Revenge has got to be on the mind for Kansas City, and we'll talk more about that game tomorrow on the program. We'll pick that game in our Friday football picks as well, as it's a Super Bowl rematch on Sunday, Chiefs and Eagles. Before we go to break, a big thanks to our friends over at Crestview Country Club for being a supporter of this program. We're getting into kind of that second summer stretch. It's going to be warm this weekend, and so a great opportunity to get out and play some golf. Call our friends over at Crestview Country Club. They'll give you a tour. They'll have you check out all the facilities, everything they've got going on there. It's a great place to be, and we are so happy that they are supporters of this program. Give Crestview a call. That's going to wrap things up for hour number one on the program. Coming up in our next hour, our betting insider PJ Glasser will join us, Tim Fitzgerald to talk K-State, and a whole lot more. Don't go away. It's Sports Daily coming right back.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.